For today's episode, Crimatorium will cover 5 more cases of missing people. The holidays are supposed to be a time of joy, but for some, they are missing someone they love, and they don't even know where they are or what happened to them. This must cause relentless agony. The moments of fun and laughter as they try to go on with life is dimmed by the thought that their child, friend, sister, brother, or spouse is missing, and they don't even know if they're still alive or dead, and what they have gone through or what they are still going through. I'd like to dedicate this episode to those who are missing and the loved ones they have left behind. Tamara Lewison Goff, called Tammy by everyone who knew her, was 3 days shy of her 60th birthday when she went missing. This was on July 12, 2018, and nobody has seen her since that morning when she got into her 2008 black Chevy Colorado pickup truck. She loaded her German Shepherd Sadie into the truck and planned to go to her father-in-law's house. Tamara and her husband Bob had just inherited it along with an old cat named Mouse. She was going to feed that cat first, then take her dog Sadie for a walk. Bob and Tamara got married the year they graduated from Great Falls High School in Montana. Tamara came from a large family, and family was important to her. She was very nurturing, always taking jobs where it involved helping other people. Bob and Tamara had 2 sons and 5 grandchildren who all lived in Washington. It was common for the couple to make the 10-hour drive together to visit them. Together, they would walk their dog Sadie along the river near where they lived. Sadie was a rescue dog. Tamara loved country music, especially Tim McGraw, and was not happy about the prospect of getting older. Bob gets choked up when he talks about Tamara. He normally talks about her in the past tense, then catches himself and switches to the present tense. After an hour and a half of being gone that day, Bob tried calling Tamara and she didn't answer. By early afternoon, he drove to his dad's house and saw that she had been there, as there was food and water for Mouse. But Mouse was gone. It is still unknown what happened to the old cat that Tamara cared for. She got up each and every morning to go to her father-in-law's house to make sure that it was fed. By dinner time, Bob knew there was something wrong, and he called the police. A single patrol officer was sent to their home to gather information. He asked how much gas was in the truck, Tamara's various passwords, and what she had with her in the truck. All questions he didn't know the answers to. The police attempted to find Tamara through her cell phone and the OnStar, which is a subscription-based emergency system that comes equipped in some vehicles. Despite these efforts, they did not find Tamara. The next day, however, Sadie, Bob and Tamara's dog, was found near the river where the couple normally took her for a walk. Bob has had nothing but praise for the efforts the Great Falls Police Department has made in trying to locate Tamara, but thus far, they have been unsuccessful. Bob purchased a drone and has flown it around the area trying to locate her or her pickup truck, but he has turned up nothing. The family has consulted psychics and private investigators and have received no answers. Her absence has been very traumatic for the Goff family and has left them with so many questions. Did she ever make it to her father-in-law's house to feed the cat? Where did the cat go? Did she take it with her? Where is her 2008 Chevy Colorado pickup truck? Did she get in an accident in a remote spot somewhere and just hasn't been found? The family desperately wants answers to these questions, and the investigation into her disappearance is ongoing. Tamara may go by the last name Lewis. She would be 62 as of 2020. She has blonde hair and blue eyes. She weighs 155 pounds and is 5'6". She has a tattoo on her right wrist of a band of green leaves and red hearts. She was wearing a yellow shirt and denim shorts. The Montana vehicle license plate number is 2-93204A, and it's a black 2008 four-door Chevrolet Colorado pickup truck. If you have any information regarding the disappearance of Tamara Goff, please call the Great Falls Police Department at 406-771-1180. Let's give her family some answers and bring Tamara home. Jonathan Arash Barmacki was 27, a real estate agent, and lived with his mother and his 15-year-old dog, Sandy, in Buena Park, California, at the time of his disappearance. He left his home with his dog, Sandy, on April 30, 2016, in his 2013 Honda Civic. It was determined that he drove to a PetSmart in Encinitas, which is 75 miles from his home in Buena Park, and bought Sandy some food and bowls. He then drove to a Target in National City, which is about 30 miles from Encinitas, at 9 p.m. He was captured on surveillance video buying a phone charger, clothes, and some toiletries. The following morning at 5 a.m., another surveillance video caught him buying gas in National City. He has never been seen or heard from again. At 11 that night, his abandoned vehicle was found by Border Patrol agents a short distance from the Mexican border. The car's windows were rolled up and it was locked. It also had plenty of gas and it was in good running condition. Jonathan's phone and the items he bought at the store were in the car. His wallet and phone were missing, however. Sadly, his 15-year-old dog Sandy was dead. It is presumed that she died from natural causes. There was no sign of Jonathan at the scene. There were footprints leading from the car to the 25-foot border wall, which was 70 feet from his car. His mother stated that Jonathan had no history of mental illness at the time of his disappearance and that he loved his dog, Sandy, and wouldn't just abandon her like that. Jonathan's disappearance raises some questions like, where was he between the time he was seen on surveillance at Target until he got gas at 5 a.m. the next day? If he stayed in a hotel, did that charge show up on his credit card? If he didn't stay in a hotel, did he go to the area to meet someone and end up staying with whoever it was? Nothing in my research indicated whose footprints were leading away from his car. Whose were they? What was the exact purpose for him driving so far from home just to buy dog food and other trivial items? Jonathan Arash Barmacki was 27 at the time he vanished. He would be 32 today. He is biracial, Caucasian and Hispanic, with red hair and brown eyes. Jonathan wears glasses and he is 5'11" and weighs 185 pounds. Please call the Buena Park Police Department at 714-562-3902 if you have any information about the whereabouts of Jonathan Arash Barmacki. Kirk Kirk Quintons left his home in New York City at 12 p.m. on September 18, 1983, to Chopped Tomato Supermarket. Kirk did odd jobs there in the summer to earn money to go to the movies, and the rest of the money he saved, his mother Lila Quinton stated. He was last seen in a vacant parking lot collecting empty soda bottles near the supermarket, which was two blocks from his home. When Kirk didn't come home that night, his family searched for him, then called the police later on in the evening. Investigators could find no reason for Kirk to run away. He lived with his five brothers, including his twin. Sources do not report as to whether they were identical or fraternal, but they looked enough alike for people to mistakenly report sightings of Kirk when it was really his twin brother. Lila stated that Kirk's twin brother, who has not been named, had difficulties in school due to his disappearance. She also revealed in an interview in 2013 that it is a pain that never goes away because you think about it all the time. I don't think of him as a man yet, she said. I still have my vision of him as when he was 11. Kirk Quintons was 11 years old when he vanished, and he would be 49 years old today. Kirk is black with black hair and brown eyes. He weighed 70 pounds and was 4'9". He has a scar on the side of his body due to stitches. He was wearing Levi's blue jeans and blue and white sneakers at the time of his disappearance. In the 37 years he's been gone, Kirk's family has never stopped looking for him. With the recent recoveries such as J.C. Dugard and Carlina White, it has given the family hope of finding Kirk. One of his brothers, Daryl, remarked in an interview, "Kirk, if you can hear us, we're still here looking for you." Kirk's case remains unsolved. If you have any information you can provide, please call the New York City Police Department at 646-610-6914. It would be great to give this family some answers. Samuel Arthur Todd, who went by the name Sam, went to some parties on New Year's Eve with his brother Adam in Manhattan, New York. Sam was described as drunk and exuberant that night by his brother. While at one particular party, Sam stated that he wanted to leave so that he could get some fresh air. The brothers left the party between 1 a.m. and 2 a.m., and Sam left Adam to go for a jog to sober up. He was last seen around the block of Mulberry Street towards Houston Street, and that is where he vanished. Sam left his wallet that contained his identification and his jacket at the party. He had no cash with him when he went for his jog. His family reported Sam missing later that day, and 200 volunteers searched for him, but not a trace of him was found. There are several theories that suggest he may have run off to start a new life. Sam was attending Yale Divinity College at the time of his disappearance, and academically, he was not doing well. He had received incompletes from two courses he had taken, and if not completed within a certain time, he would receive a failing grade in those classes. He was also struggling financially. He had borrowed money from family members and was struggling to pay his tuition and rent. He had just entered his relationship with his girlfriend and had planned on avoiding her. However, she was at one of the parties he attended that night. Despite these difficulties, his family stated he was happy and they don't believe he left on purpose. The family believes he may have been hit over the head while on his jog and as a result, couldn't remember who he was. There have been supposed sightings at homeless shelters of Sam, but none have been verified. Sam was a well-rounded individual who enjoyed jazz music, and he was an activist in his community. He also did volunteer work for several charities. He attended an international school in Geneva, Switzerland, and is a 1981 graduate of Vassar College. He was studying to become a clergy at Yale Divinity College and had done well up to just before his disappearance. Samuel Arthur Todd was born on June 12, 1959, and was 24 when he vanished. He would be 61 today. Sam is Caucasian with light brown hair and blue eyes. He stood at 5'11" and weighed 135 pounds. He was wearing a dark blue sweatshirt with a circular emblem imprinted on the front, blue jeans, blue sneakers, and a plastic Timex watch. Please call the New York Police Department at 646-610-6914 if you have any information at all about Samuel Arthur Todd. Rosanna Miliani left her home in Miami, Florida, to take a vacation in Cherokee, North Carolina, on December 7, 2005. She was staying at the Ramada Inn on Painttown Road in Cherokee. That was the last verifiable sighting of Rosanna. She phoned her father from the hotel that day to let him know that she was going hiking along the Appalachian Trail. She took with her on her vacation a large beige suitcase with a broken handle, a matching carry-on bag, a laptop, a sleeping bag, her camera, and cell phone. None of these items have ever been found. They disappeared right along with Rosanna. A store clerk came forward and stated that he witnessed Rosanna in his store with an older, gray-haired male. The man claimed to be a traveling preacher. The clerk noticed that Rosanna was acting nervous. The two bought a sleeping bag and left. Gary Michael Hilton is believed to be the man that was with Rosanna that day at the store. He is a drifter and spent a lot of time in national parks and forests in the southeastern areas of the U.S. He has been convicted of kidnapping and killing Meredith Emerson, a hiker from Georgia who was going on a hike with her dog Ella on Blood Mountain in Georgia. She was never seen alive again. Hilton is a suspect in Rosanna's disappearance, but he hasn't been charged. Rosanna Miliani was born on November 13, 1976, and was 29 at the time of her disappearance. She would be 44 now. Rosanna is Caucasian with brown hair and brown eyes. She was 5'7 to 5'8 and weighed 220 pounds. Her nickname is Sassy. She has a tattoo of a lotus flower with Chinese letters in blue and red ink on her back and a small birthmark on her chin. Her ears are double pierced. She suffers from bipolar and schizophrenia. Please call any one of these agencies if you have seen Rosanna or have any information about her disappearance. Asheville, North Carolina Police Department at 828-259-5910. Swain County, North Carolina Sheriff's Office at 828-488-4844. Broward County, Florida Sheriff's Office at 954-491-3920. Please stay tuned a bit longer as I play a promo from a comedy podcast called Dumb Found Dead. I think you'll really like it.
Do you enjoy dark comedy, puns, and laughter? If so, come join two good brothers, John and Patrick, as we discuss some of the craziest ways people die. That's so bizarre, strange, and borderline comical, that'll leave you dumbfounded. found it. You can follow this podcast on all major platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many more. And make sure to follow us on social media on Instagram at The Dumbfounded Pod and on Twitter at TDFDPod. And remember, think ahead, don't be dumbfounded.
If you would like to look into some missing cases yourselves, please visit the Charlie Project. You will be taken aback at how many cases of missing people there are, many of whom have little information regarding their whereabouts. Megan is the owner and runs the entire site herself. Please donate if you can. There will be a link in the show notes to the site, and from there, you can locate the donate button. Give what you can. It's a worthy cause. Thank you for joining Crimatorium on this Christmas Eve of 2020. It's been a most interesting year. We at Crimatorium want to wish you and yours a happy and joyous Christmas, spent with those you love. Thank you for all of your support. We really appreciate it. We will return next year with some information about a new project we're working on. It's really exciting. Please subscribe, give 5 stars, and review Crimatorium. It helps the show to reach other listeners and to grow. Crimatorium is researched, written, and narrated by me, Madeline.